The youth group changes. There's kids that come and kids that go, and sadly, kids graduate. I always think, why do you have to graduate? We're having a lot of fun. But, you know, I know they have to move on to other things in life. You can't be in the youth group forever. But this group, I've really enjoyed this group. It's a high-energy group. I get tired some days, believe it or not. But I've really enjoyed this group. I appreciate their heart for ministry, and it's been a blessing. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. I don't know if this ever happened to you or if I'm the only one. Have you ever walked into the room and everyone started smiling? Like, not like the friendly smile either, like the ha-ha smile. You're like, what is funny? And I don't know if it's, is there food on my face? Is it? Is there a tissue coming out of my shoe? Oh, one time at work, everyone smiled, and I was going to win an award that day, and I was the only one that did. That was actually a good time. Most of the times, people smile when I walk in a room. Usually, it's not as good. But you ever walk into a room, everyone's smiling. Maybe they're snickering. People are whispering. You're like, what is it? And you're just dying to know, what are they saying? What have I done now? You're hoping for something good, but you're like, maybe it's not good. You know, maybe everyone knows I messed up. And so you walk and you wonder. And so in that moment, you go to the most honest person you have. There's always that one friend that will tell you anything. You go to the person, you're like, what is it? What is it? You hope that they tell you, right? You can find out what's going on. This is a humorous thing. I think we've all experienced it at some form or another, some time or other, some place or another. But this is kind of similar to what happened with Moses. When he comes off of Mount Sinai for the second time, he's come down with he remakes the tablets after he's broken them. And as he comes off the mountain, people are looking at him, and everyone feels very uncomfortable and very awkward. And nobody wants to talk to him. He's trying to talk to people. They're not talking to him. And so what does he do? He's like, he comes down. He doesn't realize that something has changed. But they're all observing something about him that is unique and different. It makes people feel very uncomfortable. And so who's that honest friend? Well, they talk to his older brother, Aaron. Could you talk to Moses for us? And so Aaron pulls Moses aside and says, Moses, there's something about you right now. You're making everyone feel very uncomfortable. And Moses says, what is it? And he's like, your face is shining, and it's very bright. And his face was reflecting the glory of God for being in God's presence. And people were panicking, you know. Now, remember, this group hadn't always made great decisions in the past, and they'd seen God's judgment before, and so I'm going to guess they think that something's going to happen here. They've questioned Moses, and suddenly his face is shiny. He's been with the Lord. I can see them putting two and two together, and they think, oh, this is going to be very scary for us. And so they go to Moses, and they talk to Moses, and so he will cover his face. He'll put a veil over his head. And this is so that he does not frighten them. Now, when he goes into the temple, the veil comes off, and he's in God's presence. He doesn't have to worry about it. But around these people, seeing God's reflection in him is a reminder to them that's a painful one, and so it's very frightening for them. It does remind us of our sinfulness and seeing the greatness of God. You know, many times when people are in the presence of angels, they're often frightened, right? Because angels reflect God's glory with all the light that shines through them. My favorite is Manoah and his wife. When the angel comes to him, Manoah's wife, and she tells Manoah, and he's like, okay. And then the angel comes again, he's here. And so Manoah has to, of course, believe his wife. Should have listened the first time, I know this. And the angel comes, the angel speaks to him and then disappears in the fire, and Manoah falls over. He's like, we're dead. And his wife is just like, we're not dead. We're here. You're talking to me. This is the Potter paraphrase. But he's so frightened by the presence of this angel as it reflects God's glory. And so it truly is a scary thing. But the reason why Moses' face shined is because he was in the presence of the Lord. And there's something special about being in God's presence. There's power in that presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father, we ask as we look at the scripture that it would speak to us, help us to realize how important it is to have you in our lives. Help us to seek you each day in each way. And Lord, I pray that you would use us, work through this message. May people see Christ in this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Moses had been the leader of Israel. God had appointed him to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt. Remember, they had the plagues, and he had told Pharaoh to release them, and eventually they crossed the Red Sea. But along the way, we'd had all kinds of complainings, and the people are murmuring, and there's challenges to his authority as a leader, and there's all these things that are happening. Okay, so it's rough to be Moses, I'll tell you this. It's rough, right? Because people aren't listening to you as a leader. But at this time, in this camp, he would go to this tent, and God's presence would meet with him in a cloud, and God would give him direction to bring to the people. Exodus 33, you'll find that God meets with Moses in this cloud, and this is where people had seen him. Now we get down to our text. Exodus 34, verse 29. I'll begin reading verse 29. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that his skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterwards all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. When Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. So in the Old Testament, God's presence was a very precious thing. Now as a believer, I have the Holy Spirit indwelling in my heart permanently. I received the Holy Spirit's dwelling the day that I accepted Christ as my Savior. I realized that Micah was insufficient to save himself, and my sin had separated me from God, and only Christ's death could save me. So I relied upon that, put my faith and trust in that. God came into my life, and God changed me. And as mentioned, I'm a work in progress as well. And I think God has a lot of work here, right? He's done a lot of work, but there's a lot of work left to do. In the Old Testament, they didn't have this indwelling of the Spirit the same way they do in the New Testament. And so being in God's presence was very unusual. And so this is why I'm thankful for Christ, right? Remember, after Christ's death, the veil of the temple, the curtain, was ripped in half, showing that God and man was no longer separate the way he had been in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you had the holies of holies that was completely separate. But because of Christ's death, now believers could enter into a closer relationship with Christ. So this is the Old Testament, but this is still God. This is still his presence. This is Moses being in God's presence and having God's presence poured out upon him. So I would like to talk to you tonight about the power of God's presence. You know, we need God's power in our Christian life. The Christian life is a supernatural life, right? The flesh has what it wants to do, and we need the Spirit to help us to do what God wants us to do. But that requires God's presence and God's help. And so I'm going to be sharing with you three reasons why we should seek God's presence from this text. Three reasons why we should seek God's presence. Number one, because God's presence will change us. God's presence will change us. Moses had spent his time in God's presence. The rest of the camp, remember, they'd made some very wrong choices. The first time he comes down with the Ten Commandments, and they're living a party lifestyle, immorality, worshiping false idols, doing all the wrong things. They're so far from the Lord at this time. And this, when he comes down, this is very different and very sobering for them to see. And his face is shining. He's reflecting God's glory. He's been in the presence of God and God's glory, and his face will reflect that so people can see that. Now, he didn't even know that his face was shining, okay? He didn't know that his skin was shiny at all. It's not painful, right? Being in God's presence is not painful, all right? And you know, the Lord changes us, right? The sanctification process, we spend time in God's Word, we spend time in prayer, we spend time relying on Him, trusting Him, and His presence changes us, okay? And sometimes it's subtle things we may not even realize, but we might have a different spirit towards someone, right? Or the Lord might change. Maybe the coworkers around us see a difference in just our attitude. Remember, Daniel had a more excellent spirit, right? Because God was working in his life. And people around us may notice that. I think of the verse 2 Corinthians 3:18, and Paul writes, "But we all with open face, unveiled face, behold as in a glass,
or in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into God's Word, it can change us, right? The Bible talks about the washing of the Word, and God's Word cleanses us. It's important that we have God's Word in our life. I can't understate the importance of thinking biblically, having God's Word in your life, being refined by God's Word, being in a place like this where there's the teaching from God's Word. Not every church teaches straight from the Scripture the way that we would, unfortunately, okay? But I think this is a wonderful thing to have other people teach you the Word, to have fellow believers build you up, encourage you, remind you of what God's Word says. Praying, the Holy Spirit has to teach you the Scripture. If the Holy Spirit's the great teacher, then, sometimes I have to pray. I don't know what this means. Help me out. And if you pray and you study, the Lord will show you, won't He? The Lord will open up the Scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit's power in our life. And God's Word can transform us. We need to be in it. When I was a young person, I was encouraged to read through the whole Bible. And so I thought, well, I wonder how long this would take. So I thought, how fast can I do this? That was my goal. I started out, I was doing 7 to 10 chapters a day. But you really have to concentrate, right? Because at some point, I think I was really going good through like Genesis, Exodus. We got to Leviticus, and the car broke a wheel. There's some rough sledding in there, right? I didn't understand how it all worked together, the imagery, whatever else. But I just kept going, right? I thought, I'll just plow through this. And then I love the Proverbs and Psalms. Those books, that's just wonderful. But then I got to like Isaiah. I didn't know what all the prophecies were about or why was he mad about all these people. I didn't get it. But I kept going. I kept reading. And then we got to the New Testament. I thought, Old Testament took me such a long time. The New Testament's going to take forever. It did not. It is much smaller. And so I was cruising. And the Lord helped me to do that. I don't know how many months it was. It was in months. Young people, you can do it. I was younger than you guys even. It can be done. But the benefit it did have was in me, though, and it did change my outlook on life, and it did change my perspective, and it was such an encouraging thing for me and strengthening. And being at God's Word, that's such a big difference, right? Because as a young person, there's so many pressures there, and there's people, what does this person think, what does that person think, which socializing is part of this age. That's the way God made young people. But having that source of strength and help and encouragement from the Lord helped me to deal with all those other things. And that's one of the best things a young person can do is read God's Word, isn't it? To strengthen them, to keep their brain on straight and not to get mixed up with other things or nonsense that goes on, but to say, this is what's important, this is what I'm focused on, and this is what I'm going to be about. I hope that you're spending time in God's presence yourself. I hope you're spending time in prayer. Maybe you have a prayer list to help you stay on target. Hope you're spending time in God's Word, hearing the preaching, listening, not just being in the building, but hopefully you're actively listening to what God has to say to you. And God's presence will change you. It will have an effect. Sanctification will come if you spend time with the Lord. Okay? So why should we seek God's presence? We saw the first reason, God's presence will change us. Number two, God's presence will validate us. This is one of the big fears of Moses. He's always, are people going to listen, right? I'm going to talk, but who will be listening? Remember Moses at the burning bush, and God's like, you need to go to someone for me. It's Pharaoh, most powerful man in the world. He's like, I just left there, and I was kind of a failure. Like, you got to go back. I have a message. He's like, no one's going to listen. You ever feel like no one's ever going to listen to you? Oh, yeah, I feel that way a lot. It's easy to feel that way, right? Or maybe you feel like if I witness, are people going to be listening to my testimony, right? Are they going to hear what I have to say? I would encourage you with this. If you're spending time in God's presence, the message will get through, okay? God has a way of pointing to someone that needs to be listened to. Now, the person may or may not accept it, but they'll know that the message will be validated. The account here almost parallels exactly what Stephen dealt with in the New Testament when he stood before the council and he was examined for preaching Christ. They said, you're attacking Moses, you're attacking the temple. He said, oh no, it's just the opposite. I'm supporting what they actually stood for and pointing to Christ, the one that you crucified, right? And so, but it says at the end of chapter 6 of Acts, before he preaches, his face shone like an angel. His face was like an angel and it glowed. And the council knew he was correct. And this is why they didn't want to hear what he had to say. If he had been wrong, they'd have been okay listening because they could have disproved it. They didn't even want to hear what he had to say, though, did they? At some point, they stopped up their ears and they're going to stone Stephen. But Stephen's message was validated because of who Stephen was and that Stephen had spent time in God's presence. If you're Moses, you're not having fun being the leader here, right? Because a lot of people are upset. The rules you give are not very popular. There's all kinds of power struggles. There's times when people wanted to stone him. There's all kinds of rebellions. His own brother and sister at one point tried to rebel. Think about how hurtful that would have been. You're trying to lead and your family's not listening. You're like, oh, man, I always feel bad for Moses. And yet God was going to show his covenant through Moses. And Moses' face will shine. It will point to people who they should be listening to. And God has a way of pointing out who has a valid message. And you know, as servants of Christ, it's not our job to try to convince people of our greatness. I don't have to brag about whatever seminary degree I do have or don't have, or what was your GPA, or who's the most qualified. I think, humanly speaking, we want to talk ourselves up and impress people, and then they'll really hear us. Well, that's not necessarily the case, right? And that's putting the focus on ourselves, right? It's not about us. It's about the message. Just like it wasn't mainly about Moses. It was what was God doing through Moses, right? And to listen to the message that God had given to Moses. And I would encourage you, even as you minister and to others, as you witness, you know, it's not about you. That's the wrong approach. And you're going to get sidetracked. So what would I say to someone who wants to be a spiritual leader and no one is listening? What do you say to the person that, you know, I want to lead my family, I want to be a leader at the church or whatever ministry that I have in the school or at work. I want to be a spiritual leader, but these people are not listening. What do I do? I'll tell you what you do, okay? You serve Christ and you serve others. That's what you do. You focus on that. You don't go around and try to explain how great you are, how right you are, how you've been right in the past, how wrong everybody else is. That's not going to change anyone's mind. But if I have a genuine heart of service, if I'm following God in my own life, and then I'm displaying that to others and how I serve them, you know what? God will validate my message. People will see. Now, they may not listen to you. I can't make anyone listen to you, okay? But they'll know. They'll know that what you say is correct. And, you know, God has a wonderful way of validating the things that we say. Years ago, I met with somebody, and I was sharing the Bible with them, and I was very passionate about it. I prayed about it. And I talked to the person, and I said something. It was very straightforward. And I talked to this person before, and I said, listen, I just need to say this to you. And I told it to the person, and the person stopped for like a long time, didn't say anything. And I thought, this is kind of strange. So I like kind of waited, like, what's going to happen next? They put their head down. We sat there for, I don't know, it seemed like an eternity. Maybe it was 5 minutes, I don't know. And the person looked at me, and they said, I know. I said, I had a dream about that last night. The Lord told me I needed to do this, just what you said. And I said, are you going to do it? And they're like, I have to think about it. Well, okay. I don't know if they ever listened to what I said, but the fact is that the Lord was speaking to them, and he was speaking through me. And the Lord had a way of validating what I was saying. And whether the person ever got it or not, I don't know. But the fact is that the Lord spoke through me, and they knew it was right. And the Lord can speak through you. If your heart's in the right place, if you're focusing on what matters most, in time, the Lord will validate the things that you say. Question for us, are we seeking people's validation? We're seeking God's validation. I hope that you put your effort into being validated by God and what God thinks about you rather than just trying to show your credentials in front of people and impress somebody. Okay, that's not right at all. All right, number three. Why it's important to be in God's presence. Number three, God's presence will embrace us. God's presence will embrace us. You know, God is our friend. God is our helper. If no one else likes you, you always have the Lord as your friend, right? Psalm 27, if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord takes me up. Even if everyone else that I think should do something doesn't, it's okay. Keep going. You're fine. The Lord will be there. The Lord is your friend. The Lord will pick up the pieces. The Lord will help you. You know, we think so much about heaven, and we think about streets of gold, right? We have all these streets of gold that are so beautiful, and the mansions, the pearly gates, the angels to serve us. We think, oh, this is what heaven's all about. That's not what heaven's all about, right? That's a side deal. What heaven's all about is the relationship between you and God. God being your friend. And you've heard this said, it's not what you do, it's who you're with. You ever have someone that's like a really good friend, you do the stupidest thing, but you guys are doing it together and you all laugh about it, and it's fun, right? Maybe it's an old cousin or a childhood friend, and you go, I don't know if you're fishing or if you're stacking wood or whatever it is, somehow it's just hilarious, right? Because you're there, the back and forth, the relationship. That's what makes that activity fun. It's not the wood itself is fun to stack, okay? That's not it. Maybe it's your cousin there and he says something funny, or maybe you're hanging out talking to someone and you're just enjoying the fellowship there, right? That's what heaven is. It's the relationship between you and God. And God is all of our friends if we're believers, and God wants to spend time with all of us. And as sinners, we don't deserve this, right? We don't deserve to be in God's presence, right? Seeing Moses' face shine was scary because they thought judgment's coming, and they should have thought that. And we all deserve God's judgment. We're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. It's only by God's grace that we experience God's favor. I think about in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus performs the miracle, the great catch of fish, and Peter realizes that he's in the presence of God, and Peter's overwhelmed, and he falls to his feet, and he says, "Oh, depart from me. I'm a sinful person, oh Lord. You can't even be in the same place with me. I don't feel adequate." And you know, that's how we should feel. We're not worthy of the least of God's favor. You know, I think about the song Amazing Grace. It talks about us as being worms. He saved such a worm as I. And you know, we tend to overestimate ourselves. You know, I made a few mistakes. I make a couple things to adjust here and there. Well, no. The fact is that we're sinners before God. And sin is what breaks God's law and separates us from God. And we can't be too proud of ourselves, right? And you know, sin has deadly consequences. Sin is in opposition to who God is, and sin hurts God deeply. And so we live in a world full of sinners that's broken and damaged. And this is the world that God loved and sent Christ to be our Savior, that we can receive Him by faith, the gift that He has, eternal life. And this is because God wants a relationship with us, and He wants to show kindness to us. And spending time with God is a joyful thing. I enjoy the high school here, the high schoolers. Sometimes I check on the cafeteria tables and see who sits where. You can find there's alliances in our school. There's music alliances. There's sports alliances. Usually the back table is more raucous. Usually it's the more interactive social people. They're always back there, and they're more like, they like to have fun. They're not intimidated. They're a little more, usually the further you get, usually you've grown up a little bit socially. Usually the younger people are more towards the teacher side. I'll just put it out there, guys. No offense. That's fine. But over time, you kind of change tables and you make new friends, you know, you're more adventurous and you tend to move down the row. One time though, I saw it was a table and it was a group, and they were a friendly group. They were more social. You could tell they were a little more polished. They'd been around. And I saw at that table, a junior higher there, and the junior higher was sitting in the middle and was sharing all of their adventures and stories. And I could just tell their stories probably weren't as exciting as the juniors and seniors' stories were. But they were so nice listening to that junior higher. And yeah, that's you know, interesting. That's fun. And I thought, those older kids are being nice to that junior higher, because that's not their normal people they hang out with. And this junior higher, they made the person fit in. They were so kind and loving. And it did my heart good, I'll tell you. Okay? But I think this is like us and God. Like, He's way up here, and we're not as polished yet, right? And God's working in our life, but yet God loves us, doesn't He? And it's His kindness and His love that makes this relationship possible. And God does care about us, and He enjoys being in our presence. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God loves Micah. This is a wonderful thing for me. And this is a relationship that we should really embrace. God wants to embrace us. God wants to be close to us. God was Moses' friend, wasn't He? Even though Moses was a sinner, he dwelt with God. And this just shows God's graciousness. And the Lord was always there for Moses and helped him. All of his scrapes, all of his battles, God was there. Moses kept going. God's validating him. God's working in his life. God gives him the encouragement that he needs. And Moses was able to do the job that God had for him. Just some thoughts here in conclusion. You know, what keeps us from being in God's presence more? What are the things that keeps us from being as close as we should be? Well, I hope that you're a believer. You've taken that first step of faith, accepting Christ in your life, that you can have new life. I remember the day I accepted Christ and what a difference it made, feeling God's presence, praying to Him, having a renewed sense of, or a new sense of sinfulness, realizing what displeased God, and it really changed me. I hope that you've made that decision as well. I think sometimes sin can keep us from being close to God, right? Sometimes we get caught up in sin and He feels distant. And is He really distant? No, we've really pushed Him away, haven't we? And that sin has kept us from being close. I think sometimes we just get busy, right? There's just so many things going on, and we fail to prioritize, right? We have time for all kinds of things, but do we have time to spend with the Lord? I hope that we do. I hope that you make that relationship a priority. Being in God's presence is a special thing. Reminds me of this verse, Psalm 27:4. Psalm 27:4, David writes, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." David's desire was to be in God's presence, to be with the Lord, to experience the Lord, and to walk with the Lord. I hope that that's your desire. Let's bow our heads. You know, maybe this message spoke to your heart, and with no one looking around, and just between you and the Lord, I'd like to pray for you. And is there someone here, maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, maybe you don't know where you'd go if you were to die, and just something you'd like to settle, and you'd like to talk to somebody. Would you just lift your hand up for 1 second here, if that's you? All right. Next question here. You know, is something kept you from being in the presence of the Lord the way you should be, and you know it's not right, and you'd like to deal with it and make that a priority again in your own life? Would you just lift your hand up? I'd like to pray for you. Anyone here like that? All right, we have some hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us. We thank You that You're there for us. We thank You we can have a friendship with You, and just like Moses experienced Your presence, we can as well. And I pray You draw us close to Yourself, Lord. I pray for anything that would keep us from being close to You, Lord, that we'd push those things aside, Lord, and draw into Your full presence. And we experience Your blessing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this time we will have a song.